Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 9 of the Fun Times Gamecast. Today is a very kind of special episode. It is our actual technical 10th episode. So we have a little bit in store for you. For those of you who actually listen to the podcast nice and early, you'll be getting the actual full, uncut, unedited version. Unfortunately, there will be no music with it, but yes, if you get to listen to it early enough, you will get that. With that, we'll go into, let's say, today I have with me Mocha.
Hello.
I've got Narmisil.
Evening, folks.
And Mr. Borador.
What's up?
And I am, of course, Random Jack. As always, we'll start out, what have we been playing and what we will be playing. So we'll start off with Mocha. Go ahead.
Okay. Past week I've been back in Rift playing that, tooling around with beer, and I even checked the Mech Online. Had a little fun in that for a bit. Next week, probably some more Rift. Do some Minecraft now that I got the Galaxy mod downloaded and working correctly. So, I'll be playing in that, too.
That's cool. How was the Mech Warrior, by the way? I still haven't gotten to try it out yet.
It's interesting. It's it actually reminds me of the standalone version Mech Warrior games. Like Mech Warrior 3, Mech Warrior 4, and Mech Warrior 4 Black Knight.
So, they did a really good job with it.
Yeah, I feel that they did an excellent job with it.
That's cool. Okay, Mr. Narmisil?
I have been playing Final Fantasy 14 religiously. I just now got out of a dungeon where at the very end, a piece of gear that I really, really wanted dropped, and the other guy won the roll. I rolled a freaking one. And right before leaving, the guy admits that it's for his other character. I wanted to stab him.
Yeah, it does. Wait, he can't trade that shit. There's... Yeah,
he must have found a way.
Nah, it's completely untradeable. Anything that you get inside a dungeon is completely untradeable. It's unique and untradeable.
Maybe it's a count bound?
Nah, it's untradeable. I'm pretty sure you can't do nothing with it. I think he was just being a dumbass.
Probably.
I freaking
Unless
hate
he was referencing his other job.
That's possible. But yeah, what are you doing for the next week?
Yep.
What are you doing for the next week?
More Final Fantasy. I'm pretty much going to do this one dungeon repetitively until I get geared out.
That's awesome. Well, by the time you're done with it, you'll be so high level that you wouldn't even, like, need it.
Right? I'll be grinding a whole new set of gear.
But that's how the MMOs go. Constant grind for gear. So, Mr. Borador, how about you?
Final Fantasy 14.
Ah! Anything else?
Nope.
And for the next week, you have...
Final Fantasy 14 and nothing else.
Okay. So I'm guessing that's it for you guys. As far as me, I have not only been playing Final Fantasy 14, but I have also picked up 22 Cans, Mr. Peter Molyneux's new game, Gaudius, which is on Steam Early Access. And even though it is a very simplistic game, it's actually somehow quite really weirdly fun. It's strangely addicting, but really, there are times where I sit here and I will curse the living hell out of this game because something just does not work right. So, in its current state, they're saying that it's only about 40% complete. And as I said, I've been having quite a blast with it, so I will be playing more of that. I am actually currently streaming that as well. Yeah, and for the next week, I'll probably be playing the mix of Final Fantasy and Gaudius as well. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else. So with that, we are going to move on. What we're doing now is we're doing a little change up. Any news articles or anything that we want to talk about that might provoke a little bit of a larger discussion, we're going to hold at the beginning now. So we're going to go into a discussion segment. And what we're going to start off with is PayPal and Kickstarter based. Now, there have been a few instances here and there where a game that has been successfully funded on Kickstarter.
By an indie developer, no less.
Mm-hmm. Well, most of the things are on Kickstarter are indie developers, though, you know, there's an occasional one or two. And unfortunately, I don't know if it has happened outside of the gaming, because unfortunately, we only do research kind of on gaming, not Kickstarter in general, because Kickstarter does hold a wide variety of stuff.
I mean, you can get socks on Kickstarter. Anybody see those nasty-looking socks?
I've seen a lot of different things.
I have personally experienced through a company that I work for up here that used PayPal, where PayPal actually prevented us from getting our funds.
And that's basically...
Ever since then, I have never liked PayPal.
And that's basically what it comes down to, is that some of these devs are not getting what they are due. It's a little bit of a mix of both, where the devs are getting like half up front, and then they'll get the rest later on down the line. But for an indie developer, it's kind of hard for them to do things like this. They don't have the backing. They need this money to pay people so these things can come out. So it's not working in their favor at all, and it's causing quite a bit of problems. Though, it was recently announced that PayPal will be working with Kickstarter and other major crowdfunding and donation sites and stuff to rework how they're going to handle everything. Mocha, do you remember the specific game or anything that recently happened to?
Give me one second. And I wonder if I wrote it down. No, I didn't write it down. Sorry.
It's quite all right, because it's not. Even though it happened to a game, and it happened, and as with a research of it, I've actually found a second game that it had happened to as well. And I don't have the names of the game, but it's more along the what we think should happen, and maybe some tips and pointers or something that we might have for them to, you know, maybe our ideas of how this can work a little bit better for both parties. But it had happened to one game within the last week, and it's happened to another game a couple months before this, maybe even earlier this year. And basically what had happened was PayPal told them, hey, look, we're giving you half the money now, and you get the half after you finish the game.
That really sucks for that particular indie game developer, because that money that he raised was to make the game, and if he's only getting half of it, how the heck is he supposed to finish making the game? And then, what really gets my blood boiling is that he had submitted all the proper paperwork and everything to PayPal in order to have this, and yet PayPal still said, no, you're only getting half. Sorry, dude.
So hearing this, Narm, do you have any, like, initial feelings about this?
My initial feeling is, how the hell is the guy supposed to finish it if he doesn't have what he needs to get the job done in the first place?
Okay. Border, do you have any initial feelings?
I don't know.
All right.
Because if you're not going to... Look at it this way. When you're funding something on Kickstarter, you use, you know, PayPal to help fund it. Would you be more comfortable using PayPal or giving this company your credit card info? I think I'd be more comfortable giving PayPal my information, not or something else similar to PayPal.
That's definitely a good point. Definitely.
Well, let's look at overseas.
And they also have something to do with PayPal.
Down in Africa, they don't use PayPal. They have a completely, entirely different system in play to help start businesses down there. Why can't the game, indie developers get something like that running?
It might be something that bypass
PayPal totally.
It was probably because, you know, something along the lines is that PayPal is readily available and a lot of people use it, and it was easy, and that's how Kickstarter started it. And because it's becoming more and more popular, it's causing problems.
Well, I said my piece.
Mm-hmm. My initial reaction to it is mixed feeling. I do understand and see what's going on and why from both sides. It does really suck for these developers because, as I mentioned before, they need this money to continue on. It needs to be there, and they can't fund it. Now, when you do a Kickstarter, a lot of the stuff is there are rewards and stuff and tiers based on where you donated, how you donated, how much you donated, and stuff like that. All this has to get paid for. And a lot of people, a lot of the Kickstarter funders, Kickstarter owners, use the funds to purchase and ship all these items out. So now what's going to happen? Are rewards and stuff going to be late now? You're not going to see them as fast because it's going to have to wait until, you know, XYZ comes out. The other thing is PayPal, I believe, is kind of doing more of a risk management in a way, even though they don't give a reason why they're doing it. They're just saying we're doing it. But I think, and I'm trying to play on the good side of PayPal. I don't know what they're thinking or anything, but I think they're trying to do a little bit of risk management. Because there has been issues where something was funded and it just totally flopped out and nothing was delivered. Now the money has to go back to the people because, unfortunately, you know, it's not done. So at least having, you know, half of it, they can give half of it back kind of thing. So that's what I feel. Whether it's true or not, I don't really know. The next portion would actually be that now they're reworking it. How do you think they should rework it? You know, which ways should they give all the money up front? Should they do something differently? Maybe they shouldn't, you know, it should just directly go to the developers right away. It shouldn't be held or something like that. How do you think it should be going on? Mocha, you can start again if you have any ideas.
Well, if they want to do a risk assessment, then they should tier it out, or not tier it out, lay it out X amount over so much until the end balance is paid for at the end. You know what I'm saying? Week one, X amount. Week two, X amount. Week three, X amount. Until it's all used all the way through. That would be acceptable, but to say, to outright say, no, you're not getting half of it, to finish the project. Well, they're preventing him from finishing the project. Man, just no. So they definitely need to come up with something.
Okay. Border, do you have anything that you would like to...
Yeah, I have an idea.
Okay.
Give the developer their goddamn money. If they fall flat on their face, take the money from them and give it back to the people. Make the developer know that if the money that is used is, you know, if they fail to deliver their product, make the company know that they will have to liquidate some assets to pay back that X amount of money that they crowdfunded.
That's easier said than done, though, buddy.
Yeah, I know, but it's an idea.
Because let's put it this way, and we'll get into this later on, because it is one of our new subjects. Look at 38 Studios.
Mm-hmm. Don't mind me.
Yep. Okay, Narm, do you have anything?
Everything that I was gonna say has already just been said.
Oh, you took the easy way out.
I'm sorry, you guys took my answer. I feel kind of mad.
It's all right. It happens.
Sorry, Norm.
I actually have to agree with probably Mocha's. I think if you divide it up equally in a certain amount, that's how it should be. You know, there are a lot of companies and a lot of things that are based off of half now, half at the end. You know, photographic, things like that, any kind of, almost any kind of building things. It's always like, we'll give you half now, or like a third now, a third halfway through, and then a third at the end, something like that. But giving them, you know, maybe a set timeline on how, like, every couple months we'll give you this much money or something along that lines, then I think that'll definitely work out. So, I do agree with you there, Mocha. Does anybody...
Thank you.
Anybody have any other things maybe they want to say, even anything along the PayPal Kickstarter thing, whether it's totally different from what we mentioned or maybe another whole thing?
I got a question.
Nah. Okay.
As of late, hasn't the major releases seem to be kind of wonky and having problems?
We'll get into that in a second. I'm kind of trying to stay on the Kickstarter at this very second because there's actually one other point I wanted to push out with this. But is there anyone else that has anything with the Kickstarters, or we're good? No, Border, you said you're okay. Narm, you're okay. Mocha, you're okay with that, I guess, since you were trying to get on to the next one?
Yep.
All right. My thing was, and I mentioned it to some of you guys, I don't know if I mentioned it to all of you. I probably have mentioned it to all of you. I was actually kind of thinking about trying to do a Kickstarter for the podcast. Now, it was just a shot in the dark. I wanted to find more information, see what we needed to do, how we had to do everything. I wasn't really actively pushing it. There's a lot of steps to go into it. You need these things. You got to show how you're going to fund it. And then you got to put yourself up against another project. So you got to beat out another project in some way. So you have to have everything written up and all this great stuff. And it is a lot of work. The biggest thing that kind of like where I said, there's no reason for us to really do it is because we don't need any technology. You're using our own headsets that we use for our gaming through a free computer program, Audacity, using our editing for Audacity through Raid Call and Half Podomatic. That's the only thing that we're paying for is the Podomatic podcast, so we can keep a large amount of content up for you guys to listen to. And that's basically what it is. And that's not a lot of money. You know, it is a lot of money for a normal person, but it's not something that a crowdsourced funding would be. But it is a lot of work to do, and these people put all this work in there. So I can feel where they're definitely going into. Now, Mocha, you were mentioning something just a second ago, right?
Yeah, the major release, major game releases as of late for online have been kind of mucky. Would be probably a good word.
Let's see. We'll play a little word association for Borodar and Narmasil here. I'm gonna shoot off some words.
I'm gonna fail.
Let's see what comes to your head first, okay? So we got games, MMO, internet, multiplayer, Defiance, servers, Battlefield 3, thousands, congestions, worldwide, Rome 2, and frustrating. Border, do you have any idea what
no.
I'm talking about? Narmasil, what about you?
Oh, here's one. Here's
nothing.
Hey, wait, let's
Final Fantasy 14 can be included in with it.
Yes, it can.
No flipping idea.
Narmasil, how about you? Okay, you were pretty darn close.
Crashes.
Launch issues. We're talking about how most major games that are coming out are having serious server and launch issues. So, Mocha, go ahead and, because you and me were talking about this quite a bit, so you can say a little bit.
Oh, yeah, well, what kills me is that a lot of these major MMOs that came out, the people that run the servers and that and work on the servers, they know, they have a good idea what type of traffic is they're going to get hit with. So why the heck aren't they prepared for it? Why is it takes them anywhere from a week to 2 weeks to get it so you can just log into the game?
Mm-hmm.
They have all the information through sales of what to be expecting. So there really is no reason for them not to be prepared.
Yeah, you have
to not have the servers in line, toned up, ready, willing, and able to go, so that when they do decide to go live, that people can go ahead and get on.
Yep. And then you have, on top of that, a lot of these things have open betas. Now, tons of people have played. Why haven't they gotten this? So, what we'll go into, Bordor, how do you feel about all this? We've played quite a bit of games, especially recently, that have had this whole issues. You know, as I mentioned, there has been Defiance, there has been Rome, there has been what else did we say? Neverwinter, Final Fantasy had it. Tons and tons of games that we have played. Are you sick and tired of this already? Or are you just whatevering it?
I honestly have been desensitized. I don't care anymore. It comes with the territory. I'm used to it. It's something that I expect to happen. If it happens, it's like, it'll be fine in a week.
Okay. What about you, Narm?
It's something that I expected in any of the open betas that I've participated in, Neverwinter being the biggest example, because everybody and their mother referred to it as a, quote, soft launch, when even the launcher itself still said, beta. And everybody's like, relax, dudes, it's just a beta. No, it's not. It's just soft launch. Mm. So when things are still in beta phases, then it's to be expected, and as Bordor mentioned, I have become slightly desensitized to it. I just accept it as part of the thing. But once the game goes officially live, then things need to settle down.
Yeah, but for the first week, when you guys couldn't get on Final Fantasy XIV, you guys were going off left and right. So don't tell me you're desensitized to it.
Yeah, and realistically, that's what your open beta should be for.
I really didn't have any login issues except for one weekend where I couldn't play, and I just slept the whole weekend.
Yeah, you're a little different because you normally play on a off schedule. You're not in like major server times or anything like that. You are a very off basis kind of thing, so you get in when servers are down and low. But as for me and Narm, we get on a lot of the times when the brunt of the force is on. I gotta say, yes, it's kind of like, as they say, it has been to the point where it's almost, like, I'm literally sitting right here now saying that Elder Scrolls is coming out sometime in 2014, they're going to have problems. Because I'm so used to it. Now, here's the next thing. Is this right, though? They have us sitting here thinking, oh, it's going to happen, but there's nothing we can do about it. Do you go to a store and buy a washer machine and say, hey, look, this doesn't wash my clothes. It'll be fine in a week. You know, is this right? You're paying for a product. Shouldn't it be ready to be delivered now? And it's not just MMOs either. Because you had Diablo 3.
Single player games too.
You have Diablo 3, Rome 2, and Battlefield 3 last year had this issue.
Rome 2 Online's having an issue now.
Oh, speaking of which,
still having it.
Speaking of which, Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out tonight. Who thinks that game's gonna not be playable?
My point exactly. And they have all the info in front of them that they could have been prepared for. Have been better prepared for it. They have all the sales info right in front of them. Sorry.
Yeah, but it's supposed to have that massive multiplayer feature, that 16.
No, that's not coming
player
out.
Multiplayer. That comes out in 2 weeks from now.
Comes out like the 1st of October or something like that. So,
about roughly 2 weeks.
I can honestly say that I am a little pissed off. I'm a little bit more than pissed off with this whole thing. It definitely needs to be fixed. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how they're going to fix it, but I'm a little sick and tired of it. And unfortunately, because I'm one person and probably Mocha, but you guys have already said you're kind of like used to it and you know, Bordor kind of just shrugged it off kind of thing. That's how...
I mean, don't get me wrong. It can get frustrating, you know, because, like, you know, you get home from, you know, like you guys, because you work different hours than I do. You know, you guys get home from work and your version of unwinding is jumping into your favorite game and playing. And I know it can get frustrating, but it's just something that unfortunately we have to put up with.
No, we don't, though. That's
the whole point. We don't, and we're being expected to by the big companies to put up.
Yeah,
with it.
The big company with your wallet, they're not going to listen. They're not going to get these things properly done unless people, like, you know, don't pre-order.
Well, maybe it's time to start hitting them in the wallet and letting them know.
That's why they offer so many shinies for pre-orders.
But that's even beyond, you know, it's where the point how everybody's just like, who the hell cares? It'll be fine in a couple days and then we get to play. Yeah, honestly, I can see it. Who the hell cares? It'll be fine in a couple of days. But that's not what I paid for. I want to be able to play it from the time whenever I want to be playing it. Yes. And it does go along the lines of, oh, well, they have maintenance and scheduled downtimes and stuff like that. Yeah, it kind of sucks. And Final Fantasy is probably the worst for it because they have maintenances at peak hours. And I'm like, dude, this is stupid. But
they're running on Japanese time. That's the thing.
It has to be done, unfortunately. But a game at release should be its final release, unless it has certain bugs and stuff. It should be playable. If you have an open beta, use the statistics. Get your server up. And almost...
Exactly.
Almost certainly... Go ahead.
I don't remember... Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because this was maybe a year ago now. I don't remember Guild Wars 2 having launch issues.
Guild Wars 2 did not have any problems, really. Me and Mocha talked about which ones. Guild Wars 2 really did a really good job. And Rift did a really good job when it transitioned to free-to-play. It had a little bit of a, you know, like, lag.
Oh, it had a rocky launch when it went live the first time a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but it's when it went to free-to-play, it did a really good job. Yes, there was a little bit of problems with login, but that was fixed in a couple of hours. You know, some of the lag, they were on it, like, you know, done deal. They had it resolved and working on it, like, right away. It wasn't, no, oh, we'll get to it 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later. The game kind of, like, they took it down and they got it and it was up in a couple hours. But to be honest, my whole thing that I have a feeling why this is happening is it comes down to these companies don't want to put money out to open up the server. And that's how it is. They want to keep it low so they could be like, okay, we'll have the least amount of outflow, and if shit hits the fan, then we'll just have to open up more. That means we are making the money that we can afford to make more. But
you have a point.
Yeah, but then they're also going to be losing those that were tentative, holding back, and waiting to see what happens. And once they see this, that crap happening at the beginning... There's quite a few games I passed up because of it. I mean, I won't go for them.
Mm-hmm. There, it has happened to me too. I just, you know, there's got to be a way to make everybody happy. You know, what's the big deal about, maybe there's some, I understand that you open up a server, you got to kind of keep it all, there's a lot of work that is involved to start a server, get it up and loaded and everything takes money, and yes, it's a lot of money just to toss it out the window kind of thing. Once the game's up and running and now you have low server populations and you want to merge everything, it's a pain in the ass. I understand that. But what about, you know, trying to find a way where these game? What about these games like Guild Wars 2 that have... Guild Wars 2 is not server-based, is it? Like it?
Yes, it is.
It's realm-based? You have to pick a realm, yes, to play on? Well, which games aren't realm-based? I know there's...
Eve.
Eve, okay.
Eve Online.
Eve Small.
Eve Online. Defiance. Elder Scrolls Online is going to... Hold on. Eve Online. Elder Scrolls Online is going to be a mega server. Star Trek Online has a mega server. Fallout has... not Fallout. Fallen Earth has a mega server.
What about that? You know,
what about what?
Doing a mega server. Instead, you know, instead of normal traditional realms and worlds split up.
I personally would prefer mega servers.
Neverwinter was a mega server, was it not?
No, Neverwinter was not. It had three different realms.
But it was everything you could connect to one another. Wasn't, like, the main area, like a mega server, and then just instance areas after that?
No. There was three separate ones. We were on Beholder. Yeah. So. It maybe.
And the nice thing with mega servers is all the different time zones and everything, they all intermingle. So, like, when I get home from work at 8 o'clock in the morning... It's, you know, prime time somewhere else in the world, so there could be a butt ton of people for me to play with, and vice versa.
Exactly.
Now, it's all on how they set their servers up and all how they implement them. And Eve is probably one of the best-known, well, mega servers out there as far as being able to handle the multitudes of people that they do.
Oh, hell, just look at the battles they have, man. 4,000 people in one area blowing the hell out of everyone and everything.
And the server still being able to give comfortable play. Yeah, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Something has got to be done, and it's got to be done soon. But the unfortunate thing is, it's not going to be done because... the general gaming population, even if we hit and there are five people who listen to our podcast and they're like, hey, yeah, this is it. It's just not going to get out there. Nobody's going to know anything. There's going to be companies paying other companies to keep things hush hush. You know, let's say we spoil this big giant movement where we say it, it gets to one person, another person says it to another person, then a big giant gaming company, let's say IGN, gets it, and they make an article about it, and it's almost all over the place. Sooner or later, you know, whoever's got the, you know, the biggest pockets and whoever's got the money to fill them gets there, and it's going to fall flat and disappear, because I've seen it on sites before. I've seen this article and I've seen what we've been talking about on sites beforehand, and it just kind of fell on deaf ears and nothing happens ever. And it's a sad state, but it is.
Well, hopefully people will start standing up and not putting up with it and desensitizing themselves to it. It's you're not getting what you're paying for, plain and simple. And maybe somebody else outside ought to step in and take a look at it. Who knows?
Well, we did as much as we started it. We got the ball rolling. Maybe somebody will take it up from here. Maybe we'll do something else to keep continuing it on. But anybody else have any input on this matter? And I'll take the silence as a no. So we'll continue on. we're actually getting into our main stuff. It is time for gaming news.
Insert music here.
Pretty much. Thank you, Narmistone.
I try.
So from 9:09 to 9:15 is our gaming news this week. We're going to start off today with a bit of, some Steam Early Access. There is a game that is an RPG roguelike first person called Delver, and that is now available on Steam.
Oh, that game looked brutal.
Kind of looked cool.
I said brutal.
That too.
How do you feel about your traditional roguelikes and then your roguelites?
Huh?
Did you say it was a roguelike or a roguelite?
Like.
Ah, gotcha.
Kind of like saying assassin-ish.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why I mentioned that was because of, what's that game? Rogue Legacy is a roguelite. When you die, you don't lose, or you don't start all the way from the beginning again. Yeah, you start from the beginning of the dungeon, but you still have some gold, and you still have perks. It's not really starting over.
Which that brings in...
And they call it a roguelite. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought you said. Oopsies.
It's okay. It happens.
Did you just say oopsies?
He said oopsies. Oopsies.
Wow.
Oopsies, oopsies, oopsies. I'm in the rare mood today.
Anyway.
Yep. So we'll continue on. The once only available on Vita, Assassin's Creed Liberation, has now been announced for the PlayStation 3, the 360, as well as the PC. It's going to be called Assassin's Creed Liberations HD. But unfortunately, there is no official release date for this. The trailer only says that it's coming soon. Battlefield 4's PC system requirements have now been released. For the minimum, you will need at least a computer running Windows Vista Service Pack 2 32-bit. Your processor will need to be either a AMD Athlon X2 2.8 GHz or an Intel Core 2 Duo 2.4 GHz. You need to be running at 4 GB of RAM. Your graphics card will either need to be a AMD Radeon HD 3870 or a NVIDIA GeForce 8800 GT. Both cards will need to have at least 512 megabytes on them. Lastly, you'll need 30 gigabytes of hard drive space. This is, again, the minimum requirements. Now, the recommended, and it kind of makes me shudder a little bit.
Me too. Oh, I agree.
Yeah, it kind of makes me shudder a little bit, but the recommended are first of all, I don't know why it needs, but it's recommended Windows 8.
I know.
Why do you know?
Something to do with DirectX 11.3 that's exclusive to Windows 8 at the moment.
Burp.
Ah. So, it is it's recommended, sorry, not requiring. Recommended to have Windows 8 64-bit. The processors you will either need are recommended at a AMD 6-core CPU. Or an Intel quad-core CPU. They don't have any speeds tied to them. But, yes, you either need an AMD with a 6-core or an Intel quad-core. 8 gigabytes of memory. An AMD Radeon HD 7870. Or a NVIDIA GeForce GTX 660. Now, that's quite a bit of power. Yeah, exactly. Out of all of us, I believe I'm the only one that could technically hit that mark. Though, I falter when it says it needs 3 gigabytes of graphics memory. Because mine only has 2, even though it's a 670. It's only 2. Those cards run like a couple hundred bucks, man.
And I'm also overclocked, so I should be able to handle it.
Nope.
should be.
You'll be able to handle it, but it's. I'm just saying, like, recommended would be kind of, you know, probably playing at like a medium high kind of like graphic setting.
You won't have the frame rate or the graph near.
You would have to play on like
clarity on the graphics. Yeah.
I just jack everything up to ultra and throw all caution to the wind.
And that's why you die.
And then you start seeing smoke coming out of your system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you have as well.
Is that what that is?
And then you have as well the 30 gigabytes of hard drive space. So there is quite a bit of a span between the minimum and the recommended. It's like night and day. You have a computer that's probably, I'm going to guess, like $400 to $500 to a computer that'll cost you about $800 to almost $1,000 to run, you know.
You're looking more closer to somewhere around 12 to run.
Not really.
And you got to look. If you're going to run, you need 3 gigs of memory RAM or video RAM.
Video RAM. That's going to be the most expensive.
Yeah, you got to run 2 cards in tandem with one another.
No, there are 3 gigabyte cards.
Well, yeah, if you want a single card and want to pay upwards of $1,200.
Yeah, you're looking. No, a 3 gigabyte 660, I'm going to take a guess, and this is out of all my computer knowledge, is probably about the $400 to $600 range.
I'll tell you in a second.
So while we wait for Mocha to look for that, we'll go into our next bit of news. Just let me know when you found it. There is a Kickstarter that's making another old-school 8-bit game.
Yay.
I guess you heard of it. Anybody know the game River City Ransom?
I've heard of it.
Well, it's getting an officially licensed sequel. It will be called River City Ransom Underground. It is said that it will feature new animations and characters, as well as up to 4 players playing together, updated physics, and interactive environments. The team is looking for roughly about $180,000 Canadian dollars. And it is scheduled to ship sometime in September 2014.
And how much does that translate into real money?
Real money?
Why not?
Okay.
The cheapest I found on a 3 gig 660 is $300.
Okay, so I was close. But yeah. If that's the cheapest, you definitely don't want to get the cheapest. You're probably looking between the $400 and $500 range.
If you don't want to get the cheapest, the next range would be $600 to $700.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, there you go. There's your bit of information there for your Battlefield 4 PC players.
Wow.
Back to the Kickstarter thing. This is scheduled to ship sometime September 2014. And as of yesterday when I wrote the notes, there were 1,640 backers who puts the total at somewhere around – actually, not somewhere around. Exactly. It was at the writing. It was exactly 62,264 Canadian dollars, and they had 23 days to go. So they're well on their way to get their goal.
Let's hope they get it.
Yep, definitely. I definitely would like to play a little bit of... I might actually back this one up. So, Size 5 Games, their game, Swindle, has officially been put on hold. The reason for this is that they have had a long process full of setbacks, and if they continue, it could be the end of the actual studio. Dan Marshall, developer of the game, said, quote, "Looking at it with fresh eyes, several elements didn't work. Lots of bits need a huge rewrite, and because of its open-ended structure, it would need months and months of beta testing alone to make sure it's balanced. Coming back to it after a few months off, I can see what needs addressing, and the bad news is I really can't afford it, especially if it doesn't turn out to be a big seller. If it didn't sell astonishingly well, it would be the end of size 5, and that's just far too many eggs to put in a single basket. So unfortunately, this will not be size 5's next game, but good news is it's not dead forever.
It's on his back burner.
Yep, they're probably gonna wind up making another game and getting some profits off of that to fund this game's development again. So they're at a good point. They know what needs to be reworked, and it's kind of good to see that. You know, it kind of sucks that they don't have the money to push through and get this done, but it's a good thing to see that they know what's wrong and are not going to put out a faulty game or a subpar game. So, I'm glad they kind of did this, and we'll hopefully hear from Size 5 shortly, you know, with some other news. There is a game formerly known as Harbor Shipbreakers, that is Homeworld Shipbreakers now. We announced actually last week that Gearbox has taken up the hold with them to help them out making the game. It was announced as a free-to-play, but Mr. Randy Pitchford, head of Gearbox, tweeted that it's now dropping its free-to-play status.
Yeah, they're moving it to a P2P platform.
Yep. Now,
good old Gearbox.
See, the thing is, I don't know if his thing was an actual announcement, because I actually read the tweet and it kind of seemed a little like just joking around. I haven't heard any official announcement from Gearbox. All I know is there was this random tweet, and basically some random person, I don't know if it was some like major head or anything, was just like, shut up, take my money, here it is, all of it. I don't care if it's pay to play or not. And Randy Pitchford basically said, yeah, now that we're, you know, helping them out, there's no need for free to play. That's basically what it said. So, I don't, to me, I really have no idea if it's an actual true statement or not.
Well, like you say, only time will tell.
Yep. We actually have some great news for anybody who owns Steam, and especially for those who have other players or other people or maybe friends that kind of want them to, you know, try some of the games out. Steam has actually announced something called family sharing. Okay. Let me get through it and then we'll get your opinion. So what this will allow is the sharing of your entire gaming library with those who you deem worthy. Now, as I said, it will allow you to share with anyone you choose as long as you, the sharer, are offline. The second you do log online, your friend will have a few minutes. They will be warned to either purchase the game or quit playing. The games that require third-party keys, an account, or some kind of subscription will not be available for sharing. So things like MMOs or maybe some multiplayer games, kind of online games and stuff like that, you won't be able to share. Though you do, however, get all the library, the whole library that the owner has, as well as the DLCs they purchased, but you, the borrower, will not be able to purchase anything extra for the base game without purchasing the base game. So I have, what's it called? I have Saints Row the Fourth. Bordor wants to borrow it. I allow him to borrow it. He plays the game. I don't have like the Hillbillies DLC, and he wants it. He wouldn't be able to get it.
That's a good name for a DLC.
There is actually a Hillbilly DLC. We announced it last week.
We did.
Yep.
I really gotta stop spacing out during these things.
Yeah, remember you get to wear, like, you know, like, overalls and a beat-up pickup truck and stuff?
I'm glad somebody actually pays attention.
And a double-barrel shotgun?
Yep. So, if you would actually like to join in for the beta, you have to actually join the Steam Family Sharing Community page. So, give that a search and join the community, and they will be choosing people at random out of the group to
beta test it. Rather soon, isn't it?
Very, very soon. I actually think it's like, if not like this week, it's like already happened.
Next week? Yeah. It's in its works now. So hopefully we'll be one of the lucky ones.
Yep, because actually I do have quite a bit of people. I know Narmasil has already mentioned that he wants to borrow a couple games. My brother actually was...
I do.
I went downstairs and my brother is just like, Portal. Like, he wouldn't let me get an Edgewise. He just, yeah, wants me to let him play Portal.
Portal's an awesome game.
So, Mr. Bordel, you had something that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, I like the idea, but I don't like the whole you get kicked out thing. That kind of put me in a foul mood hearing that, reading that on the forums.
I'm sorry, what was that?
The whole I loan you my 500 game collection. You're playing whatever game. You're playing Borderlands 2. What the hell? I decide to go play whatever the hell, and it kicks you out. I don't like that.
Why not?
Because he's playing a different game while you're off playing, you know, Joe Smo game, and he wants to play a completely different game from his own library. Unless, of course, they mean you have to be offline within that game.
That's what I was always thinking, that you could play, but if they wanted to play the same game, the person that's borrowing it gets kicked.
Oh, it's been confirmed.
Well, they have a fact up, and I'm pretty sure it is. Just to put out really quickly, this was posted on the 11th, so last Wednesday, and it said our beta will begin in about a week when we will invite our first 1,000 users from this group. So basically, any time this week, they will be inviting their first 1,000 users. As of right now, there are 194,508 users.
Wow.
Yeah. So, 1,000 out of that, we have a good long shot for that one. But, hey, you guys can continue on. I'm actually going to pull up the facts really quickly.
Everything that I've seen, and I did see a forum post from a Valve employee, because somebody had asked a question, and they said that, yeah, if you're not the account owner and you're playing one of their games, and if they log in and want to play a completely different game, you'll get auto-kick. I don't like it. I could see, if it was the same game, that makes sense, but not two completely different
games.
What I
always thought.
No, I kind of...
Well, there's that. But I also have to say that it's still leaps and bounds better than the current availability. It's something.
Yeah, work in progress. Maybe it will. Yeah. Maybe they will get it down to the particular game.
I'm not bashing it. I'm just saying that's just something that's not sitting right with me. Because, I'd feel bad if, let's say I do this with, like, my son or whatever. And, my son lives in a different town, and I'd feel bad that if he's playing, let's say, one of the Lego games I have, and then I want to, do something else, and it's going to, kick him, I'd feel bad.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, there's going to be specific things along that line that do unfortunately happen. It might be something that's worked out, it might not be, but I don't think it's going to be... It can't be a full thing, because even though it's sharing, it can't be it can't be like where somebody can play the game at all times, at any time kind of thing, because then it's kind of owning the game, and that's pretty much illegal as far as I know.
Except well, for I mean, I think about it, like I've got a console game that I give, that I let you borrow, and it, like, years go by before I ask it back. Take Star Ocean, for example, Borador. I had that for so long, I ended up trading it in. With your permission, of course.
See, but that's different. You can play it. You can play it.
Whoa,
don't worry
whoa,
about
wait
that.
A minute.
Don't
you
worry.
What?
Stop. Don't worry. Stop. Don't worry about that. Anyways, you could give the game to somebody else. I can lend you my hard copy of Rocksmith, but can I play that game while you have it? Exactly. So it's still the same thing. If I wanted to play the game, I would have to get it back. So if I'm giving you my library, I have to get it back. So the second I get my library back, you can't play anymore.
Or you just make an ISO of the disc.
Whoa. And that's illegal, and we don't condone those things. The other thing that I kind of stumbled upon last time in the FAQ, and I was a little bit weird about it, but there was a question that says, will I be punished for any cheating or fraud conducted by other users while playing my games? And it says, your family sharing privileges may be revoked if your library is used by borrowers to conduct cheating or fraud. So,
Oh, ain't nobody borrowing my shit.
So you might want to kind of keep an idea on all that stuff.
Yeah, you better know your friends real good that you're allowing to use your library.
Why do you think I'm going to close up my account tighter than my anus? Ain't nobody messing my shit up.
Don't drop the digital soap.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I don't know why they put cheating. Because we all know that after a certain amount of time, Mr. Random Jack over here, me, you know, I'm the worst offender for cheating.
Trainers.
I will not cheat on any multiplayer type game at all. But if it is a single player, and if I'm bored, or if I want to see something, or if I've beaten the game, I will turn trainers on. You know, I will do it, and it's not, you know, it's not anything like, oh, I can't beat the level or anything like that. I went through Saints Row 4 completely from front to back without cheats. I've done it with Saints Row 3 as well. But then when I started playing Saints Row 3 with Narm, I tossed the trainers on so I can get through it and have all the stuff that I had because my character was deleted and all that other great stuff. So, and I have
I have to agree with that.
So, I just want to say, I don't know how that cheating is implemented unless it's like an online multiplayer thing, which is totally wrong and you should be shot to death if you're cheating on online multiplayer.
It's like using God mode Skyrim mods, you know, you've played the game so many times, you just don't want to start all over again.
Yep. So that's done. Later this month, Planetary Annihilation will be receiving a beta. There is, I don't think, any really specific date on that. Rift has an upcoming update. It's going to be its update 2.4, and it will be adding new conflicts, strange new lands, and, yeah, hairstyles. So, get to your barbers and have them style you up nice and fancy-like.
I'm so sexy.
In your dreams.
Yeah, I just didn't want to say it. Yeah. On October 1st, Terraria will be receiving a major update.
No!
Major update. But
really? The game that they said that they weren't going to update anymore?
God.
No, it was said, but this actually, and I'm going into it in just a short second. Now, unfortunately, due to the fact that this update has been announced for quite a long while, the full collection of all the features that it has I don't actually have it. It has ranged from, like, apparently these updates and stuff has been announced since, like, April of this year. And there's been stuff trickling out ever since. So, unfortunately, I couldn't get anything out. Next week, we should be hopefully getting a new trailer as well as a full list of all these updates. And I will definitely be announcing that on our next podcast, hopefully next week. So you guys know.
I'm so screwed. I love that game.
Game got me into Minecraft.
And you guys said you were all like, oh, the game that never was supposed to have an update. But yeah, they've been announced that this update, was announced that this game was never getting an update. And then I had found that apparently they've been announcing this update since way back when.
Yeah, so. They have been. But the whole story was, is they, like you said, didn't plan on a PC, any updating for the PC version. Then they ported it to the Xbox, and I think they seen just how well it sold on the Xbox as well. And then they started teasing about an update. And
it's on iOS now, too.
Yeah. It's gotten a lot bigger than the original developers probably planned.
Yep.
And then I know there was, I think it was like a little petition or something that somebody did on their forums. You know, kind of saying, oh, come on, give, you know, the PC an update. Because they did tweak stuff for the console release. And basically, they had the extra money, I guess, and they finally caved. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. So,
can't wait to see the new biomes.
Oh, it's going to be nice, definitely.
I got a server running.
I honestly don't know what any of the updates are going to be. So I'm kind of looking forward to the list when it comes out. On to next news. Arma 3 is finally out of early access and has been officially launched. There is a Kickstarter for a game called Hyper Light Drifter, and it has hit its goal. This 2D action RPG, it was needed to have 27,000, but in a single day, it raised over 57,000. As of, again, this typing, which was yesterday night, there were 7,310 backers and has raised over, actually exactly as of this typing again, has raised $167,432 and still has a whopping 26 days to go. It has already...
Not bad.
Yeah. It has already achieved 7 stretch goals. This includes new game plus mode, new areas, cutscenes, additional boss encounters. They're going to be hiring an animator, new enemies, more world to explore, more gear, a fully realized soundtrack by Disaster Piece with bonus tracks, a co-op campaign, competitive mode, an extended intro cinematic, and lastly, they're going to be hiring another programmer. There are 3 more stretch goals that still have not been hit. They are as follows. At 180,000, they will be commissioning an artist and extending lore and characters. At 200,000, there will be a physical companion art book. And finally, at 220,000, they will be releasing a PS4 and a Vita version.
That's nice.
It's definitely nice. For an indie game developer, they have some high goals, and it is very likely that they will be hit in this. And another Kickstarter related news, a Kickstarter game that was funded last year called Spud's Quest is now available for a whole, and I do apologize, I don't know how you pronounce your cents in pounds, but it's 4.99 pounds. You will get the game, and for another £5, you will receive the soundtrack. On top of this, if you do get the game, and it is greenlit or accepted into GOG, you will be giving the keys for those platforms as well. So, you do order the game and buy the game from their website. You get the game for the £4.99 or £5. And you get the eventual possibility of the game on Steam for the same £5 as well as GOG for that same £5. So that's kind of cool. A bit of MMO news. Firefall's PvP mode will be temporarily suspended. Red 5 Studio CEO Mark Kern states, "People want more content, fewer bugs, and more polish on these world systems. For these reasons, we have made the tough decision to suspend PvP and take the system offline so that we can rethink it and relaunch it. PvP is an important part of our game, and we want to get it right." Now, you played Firefall there, Borodor. Did you...
It is really fun PvP.
Yeah?
I enjoyed it.
So, do you think...
He is right. It does need retooling.
Okay. So, it's kind of cool that they are doing this, but, you know, hopefully it doesn't end up like another game that we all played and still hasn't had a PvP mode added to it, even though it was promised at before launch, for launch, and was never added.
Well, there's dueling. Talking about D3, right?
I'm talking about Diablo 3.
Yeah, there's dueling now.
Yeah, but they were supposed to have, like, this whole, like, PvP.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And to finalize, like, our general PC and general news, I guess, this is kind of awesome, and I'm really happy. It seems that G4 has survived the impending transformation. Earlier this year, it was announced that G4 will be converted into the Esquire network, but this is no longer true, and G4 will remain. So that's...
I wonder what happened.
Well, as far as I get, they are changing a different channel into the Esquire. They're not changing G4. They're keeping G4, and they're changing a different channel. Basically, what it was it was like an all-female channel. They're changing now to, like, this all-man's channel. Because Esquire was supposed to be, like, the mature man's thing. Yeah.
That's what we got Spike for.
No, like, mature man. Like, this is how you should dress. This is how you act nice and everything.
Oh, so for...
It's like men fashion and shit like that. You know, all that.
Yeah,
shit.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. So, now...
Dems ain't real men's. Dems are womanly mans. They're not real.
Anyways, we're gonna head on to console news.
Insert music here.
Elevator music brought to you by FTG Narmacil. So,
yeah, you're on there, folks.
How about a break before we continue?
No
there?
Breaks. Go.
Oh, okay.
Last week we had mentioned that Square Enix registered the Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy Curtain Call, and it has seemed that it's actually going to be a real game for the 3DS. it is going to be launched in Japan sometime next spring. Curtain Call will be apparently having over 200 songs, including tracks from Final Fantasy XIV and Lightning's Return Final Fantasy XIII. It will have 60 different characters and a versus battle mode. There is no announcement for the United States or Europe release, though it took about 5 months for the initial the Final Fantasy, the Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy original to be released in Europe and the States after launching in Japan. So, being one that owns the original game and having over 200 songs, hopefully they are all on cartridge songs and not DLC songs. Like, they do have DLC songs for the original, but that would be quite awesome. If one thing I have to say, I haven't played many of the Final Fantasy games. I've played quite a bit. I haven't finished nearly as much as I played, but their music is quite awesome. And having this nice game and everything like that is, I wish there was like a jukebox. I almost believe there is a jukebox mode, but yeah, it's kind of awesome. Unity will be available on the Xbox One sometime in 2014. And, really? I'm sorry about this for those people who are really big Xbox One fans, but I really don't know what this means. I really didn't read the article because it didn't really pertain to me. I just felt like tossing it out there for all you people to know. And I really don't care. But, yeah, sadly, I do apologize for not getting the information, but for those of you who know what Unity is, I do know what Unity is, but for those of you who know what it is and are excited about that, yes, Unity is coming sometime in 2014. Newegg is running a promotion offering a $10 gift card when you purchase a PS4 DualShock controller or an Xbox One controller. Though the unfortunate thing was I was not able to confirm this on Newegg's site to see if it's either still active or, you know, sold out or anything like that, because it just would not load those two sites. It was probably being like completely hit and stuff like that. So if you want to take a whack at it, go to Newegg's Newegg website, check to see if you're getting your $10 gift card, if it's still available or not, but I was not able to confirm it either way. So, kind of back into general news a little bit. Mr. Bordor, remember how I mentioned that way back when there was a studio called 38 Studios? Probably not, because, you know, it was 5 minutes ago. Anyways, there was also some big... Do you remember, there was a big name to it tied to it as well. Do any of you know that one? Red Sox player?
Sorry.
No? Kurt Schilling, I think it was his name. Yeah, well, apparently there's more stuff coming out of this whole foreclosure, this whole closure thing and everything like that with the loan and whatnot. But the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is now investigating the $75 million loan that the state of Rhode Island issued to the studio. Though, unfortunately, like with most government-related things, they would not comment on the specifics of the investigation. So, yeah. Just when we thought that 38 Studios would not be mentioned again, here it is, yet again. The PS3 is getting yet another free-to-play game. Soul Calibur Lost Swords has been announced and will be joining the free-to-play model. For unknown reasons, Microsoft buys the website xbone.com. If you actually go to xbone.com, all it does is really redirect you to a Bing search for Xbone. I have no idea what they were thinking about that one. Kind of oddball.
I don't think they did either.
The Fable Anniversary... which is Fable 1 and a Fable 1 HD remake for the Xbox system, is going to be delayed until February 2014. And there was this announcement for a PS Vita TV type thing called Vita TV, which had some kind of cool things to it and stuff, where you can stream your PlayStation 4 games to another TV if it's running somewhere else and a whole bunch of other stuff. But I'm not really going to go into it because, unfortunately, apparently, it's not planned for the US or European markets. So, yeah, it was kind of weird that it's all over the place. And then a couple days later, it was just like, yeah, sorry, everyone else except for Japan, we're not giving it to you. And that is the end of the news, and we're going into our upcoming releases.
No PlayStation 4 stuff? Because no. I actually have an opinion on what I sent you.
We announced that last week.
We did?
We did. Ladies and gentlemen, Borador, a day late and a dollar short.
Always. Wouldn't have it any other way.
So, and someone that needs coffee.
So our upcoming release is still...
No, I got two more 2-liter bottles of Mountain Dew and four family-sized bags of Doritos Cool Ranch. I think I'm good for the day.
Apparently so, not.
So our upcoming releases, which span from 9/16 to 9/23. On 9/17, you have Hot Wheels World's Best Driver. They must be talking about me. For the PS3, Wii U, and 360. And of course, Grand Theft Auto 5 for the PS3 and the Xbox 360. And sadly, no announcement for anything with a PC yet.
Give it a year.
Hopefully not that long. On 9/18, you have Foul Play on Steam, Ironclad Tactics on Steam, Urban Trial Freestyle and DLC on Steam. On 9/20, you have Takedown Red Saber on Steam. And on 9/23, you have the Batman Arkham Bundle on the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. And with that, that ends our 9th episode. Does anybody have any final remarks? The silence says no, so feel free to...
Actually, I think there is one little article that needs to... that should be really tossed out there. And it happens to deal with the gaming community. Gotta find it in my notes right quick.
That would be the handicap.
Oh, here it is. The what?
The eye movement gaming thing with the handicapped.
Exactly.
It's
nice to see it.
Yeah, it was... You know what? Go ahead. I was planning to hold it until next week because there was a bunch of other stuff that I wanted to research because there was a ton of handicapped things. And I actually had a friend who's very severely handicapped and stuff like that. And I wanted to put more information and research into it before I put it in. But you know what? Go ahead and
no,
I'll try.
No, that's okay. We can hold off till next week on this one. It's fine. No big deal.
Yeah, it'll give us all a little more time to get more information about this so we can actually have a discussion.
There we go.
All right, so we have something for next week as well as a discussion. So, yeah, anything else? So,
no.
Okay. You can find me and Narmasil on our Twitch streams at twitch.tv/FTG Narmasil and /FTG Random Jack. Fours as A's. Remember that. You can also find me on Steam at FTG Random Jack, Borador on Steam at FTG Borador, and Narmasil on Steam at FTG Narmasil.
What about our Steam community page? Do we want to maybe.
If you want to join the Steam community page, add one of us because it is a closed group at the moment. Add one of us and we'll toss you in an invite. So we do have a Steam community page. Our Twitter, you can find us, is at Fun Times Gaming. You can find us on Facebook at Fun Times Game. You can find us on Facebook. It's going to be facebook.com/funtimesgaming. Join our website at ftg.guildlaunch.com.
Find YouTube us channel.
I'm sorry?
What about the YouTube channel?
The YouTube channel is kind of like dead and floating in the water.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was putting old episodes of the podcast up there when we were getting close to the cap. But since we're not kind of close to the cap now, I haven't been putting any episodes up there. We'll work on that. But if you do want to see any of our past videos or anything like that, you can find our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/funtimesgaming community. I think it's Fun Times Gaming Community. So you called me off guard. I don't even remember it. So it's either Fun Times Gaming or Fun Times Gaming Community. So you can find us on YouTube there. You can find us on Podomatic at funtimesgaming.podomatic.com. Always feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes as well. That is searching Fun Times Gamecast. And make sure you rate, comment, subscribe, and donate. And with that, thank you everybody for listening. And catch you next week.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Later, players.
Cue exit music.
Personally, I think the level up song should be played.
And though these past like couple little things after intro music was our outtakes, so yeah, no outtakes.